And here we go. All right. We're in here for the Patriots podcast free agency recap. I don't even know. It's just begun. Sean here with JJ.
Hello. The opening of free agency, you could say.
Sure. Yeah. Opening night, free agency opening night. Aren't you guys lucky? We are here back-to-back days to bring you the latest and greatest from the Patriots free agency period. So what a crazy, crazy day it's been. I mean, first thing this morning, they're like, Patriots have come to an agreement with Stephon Gilmore. And I'm like, I didn't even know we were in the market for a cornerback.
I know.
Never mind the top cornerback on the market.
On the market. Crazy.
How the hell did that happen?
I honestly have no idea. And I really still don't know what to think about it, to be honest. Once I saw the numbers, I think it was $65 million for 5 years, right?
That's 13 a year.
40 guaranteed was kind of the number I was looking at, like, holy shit, how are we doing that? I mean, when's the last time we shelled out $40 million for a player?
Never. It's never happened.
Has it never happened?
Well, in guaranteed
outside
money? No.
It's for outside a quarterback?
Maybe Brady's got $40 million guaranteed. I don't even know if that's happened.
That's what I don't get. It's like, you know, Gilmore, I mean, Bill obviously knows what he got because we play the Bills twice a year. Everyone knows that. So he usually picks up guys he likes from other teams that he plays very, you know, frequently. I mean, I know he's a good cornerback. I've never seen him look shut down or be talked about as a shutdown corner.
2 years ago, in 2015, was his best season.
Yeah.
That was his fourth year in the league. But a good way to look at it is he has never played as well as Malcolm Butler has the last 2 years.
Right.
Nor as, I mean, not even close to as well as Revis played in 2014, his one season with the Patriots.
I mean, that was a $20 million contract. But, I mean, I guess what I kind of come to think is, there's in my mind, I mean, who knows how it plays out, but in my mind, this is, could either be really good or it could be really bad. It comes down, it's really good if we retain Hightower and Butler, at least for this season, and then we got Stephon Gilmore. That looks pretty fucking good. But if we just blew $13 million, I know we have plenty of cap space left. If we just blew $13 million a year on this guy and can't retain Butler and maybe Hightower walks, now it's I think it's terrible. Or if we keep Hightower and Butler, you know, one of the two, it's an okay thing. But if we keep him and lose those two guys, I think it's I really don't know what's going on.
Me neither. Yeah, it's a stretch to bring in a guy from outside and expect him to outperform people who have been in the system for years.
Right.
And they are, you said $40 million guaranteed. And so at $13 million a season, which is basically what this contract is for, that's 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to work out perfectly like that because there's going to be a signing bonus. But the way I see it is it's basically like a $10 million signing bonus. His first 2 years plus. 2 years will be fully guaranteed, and then the third year will be partially guaranteed. And then years 4 and 5 will not be guaranteed. And that's when he's going to turn 29, and they might decide, you know what, we'll eat whatever is left on the signing bonus at this point, and we'll walk away and make it a three-year deal. So those might be heavily loaded in the back couple of years, as we've seen with the Gronkowski deal, Brady's deal, McCourty's deal. Those are all really high base salaries in the last 2 years of the contract. So we might not end up even paying him more than the $40 million if things don't work out. But you're locked in there for 3 years, and that means what the fuck happens with Malcolm Butler, because 3 years from now he's going to be 30.
Right. So, and why wouldn't you give... I mean, maybe you didn't want to give him $40 million guaranteed. That's fine. But why? You're taking the money away from him?
Gilmore is a more physically gifted player.
Of course.
Butler is.
Yes.
And maybe they look at him and they say, for some reason, he wasn't playing up to his potential there, and we feel like he can play better. I don't buy into that. He played with Rex Ryan for, what, 2-3 years there?
And he's had some pretty good luck with cornerbacks.
Rex Ryan's the same guy that taught Darrelle Revis how to play cornerback, or at least was at the helm while Darrelle Revis was playing the best cornerback we've seen in the last 10 years. So it's not like he was getting shitty coaching and for some reason was playing not up to his potential. And I don't fully understand it.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying him like a top cornerback. Like, he is going to be
highest in the NFL.
So they're paying him like a shutdown. I mean, in Bill, I trust him. You know, when has he made a bad? He hasn't made too many bad personnel decisions recently, especially for a lot of money. I don't think he's ever made a bust. I mean, maybe a
Dalis Thomas.
Yeah, Yeah, but he even had a good year or two. Like, it wasn't like an awful player on the field. We just, you know, he was good. He wasn't worth probably the big free agent splash, but he was still serviceable. But yeah, it's just, you know, you're taking the money away from these guys that have proven it. And I mean, at that, with what they just paid, you could have said that they could probably have brought back Logan and Malcolm Butler on contracts.
No, no way.
Close to it.
Fuck, no way. You wait. You wait until you see what Logan Ryan gets signed for. Because, I mean, obviously, after giving a restricted free agent tender to Malcolm Butler and then spending all this money on Stephon Gilmore, there's no chance
Let me rephrase that. I don't mean the two of them combined making $13 million a year. I mean them, you know, we could have signed him for what we expected we could get him back for. So, like, you pay Stephon Gilmore $13 million. We need another fucking cornerback if we lose Malcolm Butler, and we're going to lose Logan Ryan. I mean, I don't know what that's going to cost, whether it's through draft. Obviously, it's a much cheaper option, but you're going to figure $20 million between the two of them. You know
what
I'm saying?
Malcolm and Logan?
But, right.
I think they're going to cost even more than that.
Maybe, but I don't know. I'm trying to rationalize this, and I don't know how to do it. I mean, I've never seen him be a shutdown cornerback.
See, you're experiencing the plight of being a Patriots fan, which is looking at a scenario. Obviously, we are emotionally connected to some of these players, Malcolm Butler, more than almost anybody in Patriots history. Mm. And we watch these moves, and we go, I don't understand it. But at the same time, you have this solid core concrete belief that Belichick knows exactly what he's doing and he's doing the exact right thing. So what we
could
have
be.
To do is rationalize around
right.
and try to figure out, all right, what is he seeing that I'm not seeing?
Exactly.
What,
I mean,
what is here that we're missing?
You know, someone told me that basically, or he was reading that a friend of mine read an article about, you know, how they view cornerbacks, and it's all based on footwork and change of direction or something like that. And that's how they sign you. So they look
that's
at that,
Butler.
And that's Butler.
Yeah.
So apparently Stephon Gilmore has mad skills like that, which maybe he does, but it's still, I mean, he didn't have a good season last year, and it's just stunning that Belichick paid him that much.
Yeah, I'm very surprised too, as we've been saying. I went back and looked at my draft guide for when Stephon Gilmore was coming out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. In 2012, he was in the Morris Claiborne, Stephon Gilmore, Janoris Jenkins, Drake Kirkpatrick. Pretty good cornerback draft.
Yeah.
And what I said is he's I gave him a high first round grade around like the 10 to 15 range in terms of overall pick. Said he's the best man coverage guy. He was a long cornerback, but his arms aren't as long as Morris Claiborne. They're not like he doesn't have, you know, extendo arms, which you would hope for in a lanky cornerback. But I see excellent hips, good footwork, and he had some trouble coming forward out of his back pedal, which is why I think you see him play at the line of scrimmage so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you just run with a receiver. You don't have to back pedal and cut on his cuts. So, I mean, he's going to be a good man-to-man cover corner. He's going to be the best one on our team if Malcolm Butler's not here.
Sure.
But do you give... It feels like you're giving up the opportunity to keep Butler by making this signing.
Right.
At least past this
a little year. Bit. A little bit. I mean, there's still a chance. I mean, there came out a report, I don't know if you saw it, that Butler's agent said that they haven't even broached the subject.
Which is silly to me. I mean,
which doesn't, it's like, yeah, I mean, you know the guy's underpaid.
Well, it doesn't mean they have to pay him.
No, but it's like, here's a guy who has done seemingly everything right from a football perspective. I mean, we don't know what he's like in the locker room, but we've had no indication at all that he's been anything but what's been advertised as, you know, a good, hardworking guy. He even said this year he's not letting this year become a distraction with the contract issue and trying to get overpaid, and he didn't. He played out. He won the Super Bowl. He is an undrafted guy, worked his ass off to get there, made one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history, became not a shutdown, but our number one cornerback the next year, and continue that trend for another year, and played very well. I mean, led one of the better secondaries in the league last year.
Yep.
And you don't want to pay the guy?
Well, that
doesn't add up.
It's not about not wanting to pay him. It's about not wanting to lock him up long term.
Sure.
So they haven't wanted to do that, at least since last offseason, according to what his agent said, and you got to take that with a large grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pats are in a good situation with him. They had, with him being an undrafted free agent, then he becomes a restricted free agent, and he's got no leverage.
He's got no leverage. But then they're looking, I mean, I'm sure you've read about or heard about the Cooks trade, the Butler for Cooks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've tried to get a first round. We tried to give him a first rounder. Now we're trying to give him Butler. And it's like, that didn't make as much sense now that we just got Gilmore. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But it's like, wouldn't you want the opportunity of having these two guys be your cornerbacks?
And you might keep them for this year on that
right.
His restricted free agent tender, which is only $3.9 million. It's not outrageous. You can keep them both. I'm at a loss.
Nobody knows. We don't know. We have no idea. As it currently stands, if they can sign him to a couple years and Hightower, this is the making of a very good defense.
For a while. Yeah.
For a while. Some young guys, they're all in their mid-20s. I mean, you really don't have any old guys. We just re-signed Branch, which was a huge signing.
Yep.
2 years, $12 million, I believe.
Exactly what we predicted.
He's like your oldest guy on defense right now. Nink. Him and Nink.
Yeah, but...
And that's...
That's okay.
That's fine. There's exactly. I mean, Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler as a cornerback tandem is pretty frightening.
Yeah, that goes up there, I mean, neck and neck with the Broncos cornerbacks.
Yeah. I mean, you have two number ones that can play press man coverage, and they're different body types. It's not like it's the same guy. You have... You have a bigger guy and you have a smaller guy. So you can match up Butler on the smaller guys and you can match up Gilmore on the bigger guys. I mean, it works out very favorably.
That was the problem I had with the Gilmore signing, connected with the fact that we have Eric Rowe for two more years. And he played well this year. He was a good cornerback for us.
Played okay.
Okay. He played okay.
Yeah.
But he's even taller and longer than Gilmore is. And Butler, in combination with a taller guy, is good. But if you put two taller guys out there, then who's going to stay with Antonio Brown? You know, who's going to catch up to Odell Beckham or some of these quicker guys, Emmanuel Sanders, some of these guys that we see year in and year out, Jarvis Landry twice a year.
That's what it comes down to, you know.
Matchups. We're a matchup team, and I feel like we just, if we choose Gilmore over Butler, then we do a disservice to ourselves playing matchup football.
For sure. I mean, you think about, so if we have Gilmore, in the scenario, if we lose Butler this year, now you have Gilmore. After him, it kind of looks a little frightening.
I mean, at cornerback?
At cornerback. I think so. I mean, it's not a train wreck, but Eric Rowe is your number two.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm a little worried because whenever he played bad, they just yanked him and put somebody else in. And that was fine. Then we have Justin Coleman and Joseph or Jones. What's the young kid's name?
Jonathan Jones and Cyrus Jones.
And so, oh, we have Cyrus. I forgot about Cyrus Jones.
Cyrus to make a comeback.
Maybe they're thinking he's going to make a big splash this year.
Think he never played horribly on defense.
He got burned a couple times, but that's reasonable for a rookie.
Totally reasonable for a rookie. And outside of him getting kicked out of that Browns game,
mm-hmm.
he was our number three cornerback.
Yeah.
Until that point. And then they traded for Eric Rowe. They traded for Eric Rowe prior to that, but he didn't play for a few games.
I mean, Eric Rowe got lucky a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hope and pray that happens every game.
So maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they're like, we don't believe in Eric Rowe that much.
And they keep...
And they bring in Gilmore. I mean, the Broncos prove that you can pay two cornerbacks top dollar.
And it pays off.
And still field a good team.
Yeah, and it pays off immensely.
Yeah, we know everything that they're able to do. So that is my utmost hope, is that we plan to play man coverage with the two best cover corners we can assemble, and then we'll play our three safeties. I mean, we just brought back Daron Harmon, which I thought was
great
never,
signing.
Ever going to happen.
I didn't think it was going to happen either, but it was pretty good, too. Do you see the deal?
Yeah, it's fine. 4 years, $17 million. It could be worth up to $20 million if he hits all his incentives. Only 6.5 guaranteed. I mean, he's only guaranteed to be on the team for two more years, basically.
I thought that's a great deal.
I thought it was a fantastic deal, and I can't believe somebody didn't pay him more in the open market. I mean, he's a legitimate starting free safety.
Oh, he could be. I'm just surprised. Yeah, I can't believe so. I don't know.
But the fact that we're able to sit here and honestly tell him, yo, you're going to play 60% of the snaps.
Right.
You're,
I mean, that goes a long way.
You're not like some weird backup secondary piece.
Yeah.
You're in the action all the fucking time.
He clearly likes it here. Maybe he didn't look too much.
Yeah, maybe he didn't.
I mean, for you see some of these deals guys are getting. I mean, it's the first day of free agency. He could have waited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, with the legal tampering period, I'm sure he had some discussions.
Yeah.
But
nothing
that tempted him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I know that if somebody was offering me $15 million to go live in Jacksonville and do nothing, or $10 million to keep living in the Boston area where if I'm a Patriots player, I had been for the past 4 years and I've won 2 Super Bowls, I'd be like, $10 million versus $15 million, is it really that big a difference versus the happiness that I get from winning football and being in a situation that I enjoy?
$5 million is a lot.
It's a ton of money. And what I'm saying is that not everybody would make the choice that I would.
No.
Some people would.
I mean, I don't think it was even that much. I mean, I'm under the impression that if these guys stay, or, you know, he must have really wanted to stay, but I mean, I would think the difference was a few million dollars.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, 10 and 5. I mean, if it was like, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to give an example of some people will choose location over top dollar.
Exactly.
It'll happen for some people.
Harmon
might be one of those people. He might not be.
He might have had a lower market than we anticipated, but he might have just chosen.
There's always a market for safety, so I feel like he could have easily gotten 6 or 7. I mean, if they're talking about Logan Ryan potentially getting 10.
It's a cornerback. Cornerbacks and free safeties, very different positions.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, you got to figure the guy could at least have gotten 6 somewhere or 7.
I would have thought.
But I mean, even if he did, he clearly wanted to come back. I mean, you heard no news about him, and then all of a sudden he signed with us, so it's, you know.
But once again, this is another reason why you wonder if Butler can come back. I mean, we want to spread the salary cap out a little bit more than paying Devin McCourty top dollar, Stephon Gilmore top dollar, Daron Harmon starters money. Patrick Chung gets paid. He doesn't make a ton of money, but he makes like $4 million a year, $3 million, $4 million a year.
Yeah.
And then are you going to then pay Malcolm Butler a premier salary on top of that? I mean, that is more than a quarter of your salary cap sunk into one positional area.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do it. But
they
might be looking at some other things down the line that we're not exactly seeing. Something like Devin McCourty's cap charge going through the roof the next 2 years.
Right.
Maybe they're looking at that as a possible cap casualty as he moves into the later part of his career. I mean, he was drafted in 2010. He might be 30 already.
Yeah, he's becoming a seasoned veteran.
Yeah. And, I don't know how that'll work out from a distribution of funds standpoint.
I don't know what to say. I'm with you. It's I don't know what to think. I mean, Belichick
speak for the entirety of Patriot Nation of going, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he's going to be good. It's just a matter, you know, he's going to be at least a solid cornerback. It's not like he's going to get burned every game or any of that shit. I'd be stunned if any of that shit happens, but it's just, you know, why him over him? You know, why are we picking this guy over the, you know what I mean? Unless they are planning on hopefully keeping Butler. But since they've already looked at trading him, the signs aren't
according to sources.
According to sources, but.
And you could float that idea and not formally offer it.
Sure.
And then a source picks up on that somehow.
Sure.
I don't want to buy in too much. Real quick, Devin McCourty will be 29 for this season, this upcoming season.
Okay.
Just
so you know. What else has happened? Oh, the big Dwayne Allen trade.
Dwayne Allen, yeah. I got on here last night with Creech, special guest Creech, on our previous episode, and we talked about Dwayne Allen for a bit. You've known this for a while. He was a free agent last
Huge
year.
Huge Dwayne Allen fan.
I'm
you are.
A big Dwayne Allen fan and have been for a while. So I'm super pumped that we got him. I think he's a great compliment to Gronk.
You really do?
I do, yeah.
He didn't have a very good season last year.
No, but he's playing for the Colts.
Yes.
I think that knocks you down at least a full letter grade in your performance.
Okay. Receiving-wise, is he still a good receiver?
He's a fine receiver.
Yeah.
He's got good hands. He's got decent quickness. He's not a burner by any stretch. I think he ran like a 4.85 at the combine in his 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a straight line speed guy, but if you ran Antonio Gates in a 40-yard dash, he's not coming out much faster than 4.8 at any point in his life.
Yeah.
And that's the way I see him. I see him as a change of direction, quickness, good lateral movement, uses his body well, and he's got strong hands.
I mean, the positive about that was the deal. I mean, we gave up a 4th-round pick, we got him in a 6th. Yeah. You really can't, if he's anything, you really can't go wrong with that.
And we got him for 3 years.
Yeah.
At reasonable money, it's like 5.5 a season, and he's 26, 27 right now.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
And we're having him for the cream of the crop of his career is coming up, and we got him for reasonable money, and he's locked up long term, and all it cost us was 60 positions in the draft. We went from like 137 to 200.
Yeah.
We should have been like, if you guys got 199, can we get that?
Yeah.
We want that Brady pick.
The only thing, the negative about it is that means Marty's not coming back. And Marty, once that deal dropped, Marty kind of said, thank you. He made it known that he knew he wasn't coming back. So clearly they did that because they knew they had no chance at Bennett.
Yeah. Or they didn't want him.
Yeah. I would think they would want him.
Well, Bennett is 31, and he's going to cost a lot more money than Dwayne Allen's costing. He's going to cost 8 to 9, probably.
Yeah. And well, I think he came out and said he wants 9. So once that happened, it's like, okay, you're not coming back for 9. I mean, if he said he'd come back for 7, completely different story.
Yeah, possibly. We might have done it for 7, but I think this is a better deal long term. I think for one season, Martellus Bennett would be a better player than Dwayne Allen, hands down.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Yeah.
But over the course of this deal, I think this is going to be the better play.
Hopefully. I sure as hell hope so.
I'm super psyched about that. So we talked about Alan Branch. We brought up Stephon Gilmore, obviously. Daron Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
We're really focused on the defensive side. Creech and I talked about this last night. Offensively, I mean, it is solid.
That's really what it comes down to. Offensive line, completely solid. All they need, depth through the draft. That's what they're going to do. It's pretty obvious. They always do that. And they don't have any glaring holes or any weaknesses. I mean, we have guys coming back and stuff like that. We released Vollmer, unfortunately, but you know, that's the way it goes.
I think he plans on retiring. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
The only consideration on the offensive line is that Solder is in the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that might mean an extension, or he might get the Matt Light treatment, where we draft a left tackle very early in the draft to be his replacement.
Yeah, so we'll see how that unfolds. I mean, running back, it's, you know,
that's
you have
the only question mark left.
You have James White, you have Deion Lewis. You're probably going to bring back Brandon Bolden, even though he doesn't play much. But then Blount's still on the table. You have Adrian Peterson on the table. You have Jamal Charles on the table. You got a bunch of guys. Latavius Murray's out there. No one that's fantastic, but...
you just mentioned one surefire Hall of Famer and one borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, Peterson who knows what Peterson has left, and I don't think he's going to come here. I don't think that's happening. Charles, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would like to see that happen.
He wouldn't be, we're looking for a bigger body to complement the other two guys.
And, exactly.
And he's not that guy.
So, I mean, you might see Blount come back and then a draft pick. I mean, that's pretty easy, and Blount is not going to be a lot of money at all.
I've heard that he might get priced out of New England. Somebody might give him 3-4.
Well, we heard that, and then, I mean, there's been nothing about him at all. And then the fact that you do have Peterson, you do have Charles, you do have Murray, you have Eddie Lacy out there. I mean, you have guys that are more flashy and bigger names than him, and nobody's saying they're going to pay these guys that much either.
Running backs can't catch a break.
They can't get any money. No one wants to pay them. It's too replaceable of a position. That's what it's coming down to. And yet, there's so many teams with so many running back problems. It's kind of funny.
It's insane
how that works out.
A position that used to be regularly the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Now it's just, you can't even, you could be a Hall of Famer and you can't get any money.
Yeah. D'Angelo Williams, he's another one. I mean, nothing's great, but, you know, if the top of the line, if they're talking about 4 or 5 million, 6 million for Peterson and Charles, and, you know, less than that for Lacy, I mean, what is Blount going to get? 3?
Probably 3, yeah.
2? Says he loves New England.
I'd like to see him back here on a, like, 2 million with a million and a half in incentives, something like that.
I mean, that's pretty reasonable. We took care of the tight end position. They'll probably address that in the draft. We re-signed Lengel, or gave signed his unrestricted contract or whatever the hell it is.
Exclusive
and then
rights free agent.
The last thing is receiver, who they're looking to get, you know, clearly a playmaker, as we mentioned last show, whether it's Brandon Cooks or whatever. And they really don't, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, the deal is, and I went over this with Creech last night, is that Edelman and Amendola, we all know Amendola's only coming back if he restructures his contract. All signs point to that happening. They're both in their 30s. They both have injury histories. They both, well, Edelman more than Amendola now in this point in his career takes a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And they're both coming into the last year of their contract. So there needs to be a long-range plan. What is happening long-term? And we know that Edelman takes care of his body as well as anybody when he's not on the field, because he's fucking reckless out there. But he's in that TB12 training and all that, and I hope that he's able to play for a long time. But we know that drop-off happens quick, i.e. Wes Welker.
Yeah. So they're looking for some insurance. Yeah.
And Malcolm Mitchell looks good. We got Chris Hogan for the next 2 years. It's not a dire need, but they don't want it to become, you know, 2013 again, when Brady's standing out there trying to throw to Kenbrell Tompkins and, you know, whatever Aaron Dobson has to give.
Yeah.
Or 2005 when there was Rashay Caldwell and, I mean, nobody else.
Exactly.
It's happened too many times in his career. I think they're trying to prevent that from happening again, and it's a really good opportunity to target somebody in the draft at that position if they're not able to pull off some big trade for a Brandon Cooks or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely possible. So there's that, and the last thing is cornerback on offense is quarterback, and it all depends on what happens with Jimmy G. And yeah. I think somebody's going to offer him some big money or big deal.
The stories just keep coming out about the Browns. I mean, the Browns today just picked up another future second-round pick.
That Osweiler trade. Did you see that? Oh, my God, dude. Talk about awfulness. That GM should be fired.
In Houston?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Upon further review, I don't think it's that terrible a deal. I'd have to look at the...
Well, it's just the principle of it. It's really not, you know... Getting rid of Osweiler for what they did is probably a good deal to get that off the books.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, you sign this dope for that much money and that big of a contract. No repercussions from the GM standpoint. Your team sucks because of it. You have one of the best defenses in the league and you can't score any fucking points. And then you trade him the next offense season to the Browns and give them a second round pick for a fourth. Now, granted, it's next year, but still. What was it, like a second and a fifth year this year?
They gave Osweiler and a sixth this season for, let me see, one sec.
And a second next season.
Osweiler along with a 2017 sixth round pick. Oh, shoot, no. Cleveland is sending a 2017 sixth round pick and a 2018 second rounder for Osweiler and a 2017 fourth rounder.
Are you sure? I thought Cleveland was receiving a second round next year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what you just said.
Okay, yeah. Brock Osweiler plus a sixth this year, a second next year in exchange for the Cleveland Browns 2017 fourth round pick.
Yes, that's
okay,
it.
There it is.
That's it.
So
I mean,
well,
that's
the fourth round pick is the first pick of the fourth round this season.
Basically, they had to pay the Browns to take him.
Yeah, 100%.
What it comes down to. And the Browns might release him, or they might even trade him.
They can do whatever they want. Fuck it.
They're saying once the Browns got him, there was a lot of chatter that people wanted him somehow.
Who?
Osweiler.
Who?
I don't know.
Who could want that guy on your team for that contract?
The Niners?
I guess when you take out, because the Texans had to absorb.
Just another shit team, you know?
Yeah. Well, they had to take his whole signing bonus. So his contract is lessened now, his you know, cost per year. But woof. Kind of tough to be Osweiler at this point.
Nobody wants you. You can't. You have to pay people to get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, he's signed over his head, and then now he's just a punchline. It's kind of rough.
Yeah, he's going to have to. It's going to be tough to get out of that, too, because a lot of people are going to shit on him for years about that.
For years and years. I'm not going to forget about this trade anytime soon.
It's the worst free agency signing ever, I think.
It's got to be up there. I think Albert Haynesworth has got to be number one, I would think.
I don't know, man.
Haynesworth, $100 million.
Yeah, it was $100 million.
And that was like 10 years ago. When did he play for them, though? The cap was like $100 million.
Did he play for them?
I think he played 2 years for them. Like one year he was okay, and the other year he was kind of hurt and fat.
Well, I know, but Osweiler, what'd they give him? How much money? Wasn't it like 60 or 70 mil?
72 over 4 with like 40 guaranteed.
He sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
He never played even decent.
I know. We can...
Anyways, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a decent argument. The point is that the Browns picked up another chip in the draft.
Right.
They seem to be the lead suitors for Jimmy Garoppolo, and they got two first-rounders this year, two second-rounders this year. Next year, they got a first and 3 seconds. Yes. Never mind all the shit they have after that.
So what everyone's saying, or the recent report I read about an hour or two ago at this point, was basically that there's a market for Jimmy G out there. There's like 4, 5, 6 teams, whatever it is, that are interested in him, but they're all don't think they have a chance compared to the Browns. They think the Browns are supposedly going to blow the Patriots' socks off with a deal, which is awesome.
Doesn't it seem like I wish you didn't say socks off.
Well, I know that's They're exactly what blow. The report said. That's what the report said exactly. So I was rephrasing. Well, I didn't rephrase it. I said exactly as it said.
Yeah, but it would have been so much better without that last part. It seems like if any of this is true, it seems like the Patriots have played this situation to perfection.
Yeah.
They get Adam Schefter to stand on a table and yell at the Patriots fan base on like the Sports Hub or WEEI. Just going, the Patriots will not trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, pretty much. I guarantee you with every shred of my credibility that he will be on the roster in 2017.
Yep.
And the Pats are just sitting there. I can see Jonathan Kraft just giggling. Yeah. Just going, oh my God, they're eating it up.
Yeah, right.
And the Browns are assembling more draft picks. Yeah, things as they're if like, they don't have enough already. Right.
Like the number 12th overall wouldn't get them. It's like, that would be fantastic. Just the 12th overall. I mean, think about that. Team that just won the Super Bowl gets a 12th overall pick for their backup quarterback. It's like, wow. And then now they're like, well, they can't just do the 12th. Or should they do the first overall? Would that even do it? Should they do the first, the number 12 and like a second rounder? It's like, wow.
This is getting crazy.
It just shot up there. It went from being a definitely a first to a potential first this year and a first next year, or like a high first round pick, or, you know, whatever. It just kind of went off the rails there, which is great. The only thing is that I do understand is Belichick has said in the past that, you know, the older a player gets, the more likeliness of, you know, their demise coming. And what he said is that, you know, these types of guys, when they're that old, they don't slowly decline. It's like they're really good and then they're really bad one day. And it's just the way it works. I mean, it happened with Peyton Manning. It happened with Brett Favre, you know. It happened with LaDainian Tomlinson. It's happened with so many guys.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, you know, all kinds of people. Just all one
Darrell
day.
Darrell Revis.
Yeah, Darrell Revis. Wow.
Yeah.
He's in that group. I won't shut the book on him yet, but it's been proven. I mean, these guys, they fall off a cliff. And Belichick could be worried a little bit about, I mean, Brady just did to win the Super Bowl and have, I mean, one of his best seasons ever. I mean, that's like a joke. But he might be it could be in the back of his head, you know.
It should be at the front of his head. I mean, Peyton Manning in 2013 set all the records that have ever been for quarterbacks. Yards, touchdowns, whatever you want to call it.
In 2015, he couldn't throw the ball.
The second half of 2014, he couldn't throw the ball. I mean, really? it was that quick.
Yeah.
Do you remember that playoff game where the Broncos hosted the Colts in the divisional round, and Peyton couldn't get the ball outside the numbers?
Yeah.
I mean, it was garbage.
Granted, Peyton Manning had like 3 neck fusions, you know, whatever that entails. I mean, I'm sure that doesn't help your throwing motion. But Brady hasn't had that catastrophic injury yet, knock on wood. He hasn't had it, so it's less likely that it's happening for him at all.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't think he's going to fall off this year. He looked great all year last year. I mean, he just led in the Super Bowl. We all know he led them 25-point deficit comeback. And you don't do that if you're falling off a cliff. So I would do it and just grab some veteran quarterback. And I mean, we've went into seasons with Brady with fucking rookies. So we did it with Garoppolo.
Undrafted rookies like Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. We're just like, all right. I mean, Brady was younger at the time, but I mean, I wouldn't be, it's not worth a first or two firsts or whatever they can get. It's worth it.
It could be. Yeah. I said this with Creech last night that I think I figured this out about myself, that I want the Pats to trade Garoppolo because then we won't have an incentive to kick Brady out the door. You know? Yeah.
And I mean, it's fair for the guy to go get a starting shot. But the thing that really gets me that I think is funny, sure, Garoppolo had a really good game and a half. Really good. Didn't throw an interception, threw a couple TDs. But they're willing to pay this much for a guy who got hurt in the second half of his second game, or the first half of his second game,
yep,
and was out for several games. And, I mean, that right there is pretty friggin' tough. And not to mention, he was on maybe the best offense in football.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
We were the number two offense in the league.
Okay. Well, that was with Brady.
That's with Brady, exactly. But, I mean, Brady does that with everybody. But there's some, you know, it's like almost like Matt. Remember Matt Castle? He came in, won 11 games. You know, yeah, he was throwing a Randy. You know, that's what I mean. Like, this guy, this is an offense that Brady could scored 19 points in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl.
But Garoppolo didn't have Gronk out there.
No, he didn't, but he still had Bennett. He had a good offensive line. He had a good running game. He had some
Deion Lewis.
Pretty good. No Deion Lewis, but James White, he wasn't what he was. That's a tough argument. Blount was way better in the first couple games, too.
He was. By necessity.
And then you got Hogan, Edelman, Amendola. I mean, it's, you know, not like you put him on a team with a mediocre offense and he excelled. You put him on a team with a really good offense and he did pretty good.
He did very well, yeah. I know. It's a very, really small sample size for somebody to want to put those type of resources into it. But then people choose quarterbacks in the first round all the time and they've never played a down in the NFL.
Yeah.
So that part makes it seem more feasible for a team to make that move. Elsewhere on the roster, we just went over the offense, talked a lot about the secondary. Our D tackles are shored up now that we got Alan Branch to pair with Malcolm Brown and Vincent Valentine look pretty good this season.
Mm-hmm.
But then the backup linebackers you feel good about, Shea McClellan, Kyle Van Noy, if Nink is going to be moving in there, Landon Roberts, obviously Hightower still on the market, no word yet about him. We know his value is going to be somewhere in the $10 to $13 million range.
Well, actually, all I kept reading is that he's in very good contract talks with the Patriots, and they might re-sign him.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, that's the latest I heard. They've been having very positive talks, and it could be possible they sign him. So
that'd be excellent. And for those of you who are wondering how much salary cap space we have, probably around 25 to 30 million currently.
That's it?
Yeah.
You could say, are you lopping off some for the draft picks?
No. What that is we came into it with 48 million.
I thought we had 61.
Says who?
Everybody.
61.
61. What are you looking at? Wasn't it 61?
Oh wow. I got 48 here.
You see 48?
I don't know. Oh, cuz Dwayne Allen's on there and Malcolm Butler got added. Did you account for that's 9 million right there.
Yeah, that doesn't take you from 61 to 47.
Hey, 61 to 48. That would be 13 million. I just gave you 9 million right there.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
Stop
talking over me. Jeez.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, you're going to have, I'm factoring in 10 million for Stephon Gilmore. I figure that's reasonable for a first year and a 13 million average.
Mm-hmm.
I got 4 million for Daron Harmon and 5 million for Alan Branch. That's a total of 19 coming off there. That gets us down to about 30.
That's off to 47.
That's off of 48.
48, I'm sorry. I'm trying to see if I can find anything, but my internet's working slow as fuck.
Okay, let's put it this way. Between 30 and 35. How about that? You right. Agreeable there?
I'd say 30 and 40, but sure.
Okay. There's enough money to bring back Hightower, even if you're going to pay him top dollar the first year.
For sure.
There's enough money to do that. So we don't need to feel like we can't afford him, even after all the money we just spent. This is unusual territory for the Patriots to have the sixth highest salary cap. This is what Jaguars fans feel like every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can fit them. Bring them on. We could fit another one.
Exactly. But it never works out for them.
No, it doesn't, because they always buy people who emerge like a year ago, except for this year when they got Calais Campbell, but they also got A.J. Boye, and Boye has one good season under his belt. Calais Campbell is a stud, but he's older. Anyway, about Hightower, if he re-signs, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be super happy. I think he's a great leader, and he's the one that you want calling all the shots. He brings great versatility at linebacker. He plays all three downs, and we got specialists around him at the linebacker spot to fill in the other roles.
Exactly.
So he's the guy that makes that whole thing run. The weakness right now, edge defenders.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like bleeding out for edge defenders. Jabal Sheard's on the market. Chris Long's out of town. Trey Flowers, he performs his best as an interior rusher, I think. I think his most impactful position is as an interior rusher. And behind him, you got Ninkovich.
Yep.
Geno Grissom, who hasn't shown anything. And then, you know, Kyle Van Noy or Shea McClellan, if you want to play those guys on the edge, which isn't their premier position right now.
Right.
They're more stand-up guys or like on the interior. Other Van Noy played well on the edge.
Yeah. It's funny. I do agree with you that, I mean, he's definitely been the most productive from inside. I don't know if that's mostly just because that's when they've, you know, pretty much all year they put him inside and they let him go after it. I don't know if that's because he's not as good on the outside or because they, you know, that's where they wanted him and they had other guys to fill in on the outside. I mean, I think he could be pretty damn good still rushing off the left or right tackle. You know,
I think he's more valuable on the inside. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, true. So they definitely need a DN unless they do a whole change of scheme where they go to like a 3-4 type of thing. That's the only thing I'm thinking they could possibly do.
They do that shit all the time. I mean,
they do. And that would all you would really need to do there is pretty much draft a, you know, another or get another big 3-4 DN like a Jared Audrick who's out there. Or, you know, someone on the draft, and you could kind of use who you have right now. But I would definitely want to see a premier pass rusher. And there's plenty out there.
I don't think they're going to bring in a premier guy. I could see probably two veteran one-year deals.
True, right. I mean, there's really not that many. Who is there? There's, what is it, JPP? Is he probably the only big time, like, going to get signed for a lot of money, DN this year?
Yeah, I guess most of them got franchise tagged.
Yeah.
Most of those guys, we know what happened with Chandler Jones.
Yeah, he just got paid.
He got paid real money. There's really not any of those guys that are in their prime edge rushers on the market this year.
But right, I agree with you. I mean, you look at it, who's out there right now?
The guy that I really want is Connor Barwin.
Really?
Yeah, Connor Barwin just got cut.
I saw he got cut, but I'm surprised. You want him that bad? I've never been that high on him.
Huge fan. He's got great length. He's got a good motor.
He disappeared this year, and I can't explain it. I mean, he might be done. Very possible that he could be done.
He did get caught for PEDs a couple years ago.
Did he really?
I think so.
He looks like it, doesn't he?
He does, definitely.
He is shredded. But
I mean, there's some other guys out there, too, though.
There's a few.
Last night I brought up Julius Peppers.
Yep, Julius Peppers, DeMarcus Ware. I said Audrick, not really the same type of player. Mario Williams?
No, Mario Williams is done, without
a
doubt. Oh my God, yes. Yes.
He's probably done. There's Lorenzo Alexander. I wouldn't think we would go with someone like that, but you never know. It's pretty much DeMarcus Ware and Julius Peppers are really where you would tap into that, and I think at least Ware would get paid significantly more than we'd want to pay him.
Yeah, I don't think he's a likely fit for us. I could see Peppers. I could definitely see that.
I could see Peppers, too.
I think Audrick will probably get more money than we're willing to give, but I feel like he would be a fit as well.
Yeah. But he wouldn't really fit that need.
No, he's more of an interior, hand-in-the-ground type of guy.
Yeah.
But he seems like the type of guy Belichick would really like, and I know he's said positive things about him in the past.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess there's always a possibility Sheard comes back. I mean, a small possibility at that, but...
There is. He could get a look at the market, and they're offering him way less than he expects, and he's like, fuck it, I'll just do one more year with the Pats. I already know what my role is going to be, and
right.
I have the opportunity. And when he's on his game, the last 2 years for us, he's been terrific.
Yeah. He's had just been great games. Yeah. Well, it was really, honestly, it was only like six games in the beginning of the season, of this season. All last year, I thought he was, I mean, there were some games where he would kind of disappear, but that was probably more scheme related. Mm-hmm. And then this year, you know, he got benched. And then after he got came back from getting benched, I thought he played great. For the, I mean, they granted he was playing probably 30% of the snaps.
That's all we're looking for, a rotation here. Yeah. At least that's what I'm thinking.
I would think so, unless they, I mean, who knows? If we get the 12th overall pick, we can get some crazy, crazy beast of a D-end.
Possibly, yeah.
You know? That would be sick.
But I expect us to have a couple additions there. It'll be fun to see how that plays out. So if we have $35 million in cap space still,
yeah,
then you're still looking at a few pickups.
Oh yeah, some good pickups too. That's a Hightower and a couple other guys.
It could be Hightower, Blunt, two edge defenders,
and a receiver.
I don't even think a receiver is going to make our roster.
Yeah,
unless we get a big time receiver. I mean, who are we going to pick up?
There's cheap not
that is better than Amendola.
Yeah,
and if Amendola comes back for 2.5.
Who's out there? Terrell Pryor. We're not getting him.
No.
Not a chance. I mean, didn't, what's his name? Robert Woods. He just got a lot of money.
Yeah, I was bummed to see that he signed. I think he went to L.A.
He did. Right? Yeah. What was that, 5 years for what?
I think it was like 5 for $30. I'd have to double check.
That sounds
check.
About right. I think that's right. 5 for $30 sounds correct. But there's a Kendall Wright out there. I don't
interesting
know.
Idea. You know, I could see Patterson. Us bringing in a veteran guy and letting him compete, but I don't think on the free agent market we're going to bring in a big receiver.
Yeah. Well, Ted Ginn, he got signed. Yeah, there's not too many guys out there that are, you know, real flashy names or anything anymore, at least.
Could
Where do you think Marty's going to go?
I don't know. I hope he goes to, like, Green Bay or something. I hope he goes somewhere good.
That'd be nice. I've heard in Oakland thrown around a lot. I don't know. I don't want him to go to Oakland.
Me neither.
That would suck if we have to play him.
I know. I like they just drafted a young tight end, Clive Walford from Miami. I thought he was a good player.
Yeah.
But maybe they're looking for that two tight end look.
Green Bay would actually be a really good fit.
Yeah, could be. They could bring back Jared Cook, or they might go to Bennett. I think Bennett would be a great fit there.
That's what I would do, but I'm not the GM for the Packers.
Yeah.
And they only pretty much go through the draft, too. They don't even, like, look at anybody in free agency.
Almost none, yeah. There was this thing a couple years ago. They had one guy on their roster that wasn't drafted by them, and it was Julius Peppers.
Yeah, it was Julius Peppers. Fucking ridiculous.
That was it.
And you don't hear anybody talking about who the Packers are going to get.
Nobody.
Except for their retaining their own guys.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy, interested teams, Green Bay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really it.
And that's like the last person they should be interested in.
Yeah, I mean, if he was going to control his weight in Green Bay, he would have done it by now.
Exactly.
Let him go somewhere else. Let him go to L.A. and get fat-shamed out there in La La Land.
They don't need another running back.
No, they don't.
By any means, but yeah. Who else? Any other big signings you want besides Hightower?
For us? No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I want a Malcolm Butler extension.
Yeah.
That's what I want, but that's really it. And we don't have to. We don't have to do it until next year, if he was willing.
Yeah.
And
that is
true. If somebody wants to sign him to a market deal, and then we could get a first round pick for him, I wonder if we would just take it.
They might just take it. Well, it depends on what the deal is.
Well,
if they're paying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's like $8 million a season, they'll be like, yeah, we'll match that shit.
Exactly. But if they, you know, if it's a $10 or $12 million deal, I could see him possibly taking the first round pick if it's a good enough pick.
Yeah, they might just do that.
Late 20s, probably not, but early, you know, something 20 or above, I could see him going for it.
Yeah. It's a weird day because we're doing a lot of good things.
Yeah.
It's the only downside is what might happen with Butler's future, and that's purely emotional weakness on my side.
It's speculation.
Yeah, and I don't have that Belichick cold heart. That's what it feels like he has.
Yeah. I know, the undrafted guy. Oh, report just came out.
Uh-oh.
Jason Lacanifora, however you say that name, reports the Patriots are still working to resign Hightower.
Okay. At least I'm working. I want it. If you got Hightower in the middle, if we can bring in some help on the edge and we got that type of secondary, this is a great defense again.
Yeah, this is a really good defense.
Yeah.
it's very similar. You're losing a couple guys, but I mean, the core would still be there, and that's the important part. And this little blurb here I'm reading makes a good point that, so Hightower's letting the market decide his, you know, his price, obviously. And if he wasn't signed immediately, he saw the best offers, you know?
Okay, so he's seen them. He brought it back to the Patriots. Now they're trying to work it out.
So this is players not scooped up in the opening minutes of free agencies that's often ends up being a bad thing, or ends up a bad thing. What is that? I don't know if that's... Oh, meaning that he's not getting what he expected.
Yeah.
So he probably saw what's out there, and it's not out of the Patriots ballpark.
Good.
Which is great.
Good.
That's how I would read
that. The table.
Yep. Hopefully
make it happen.
Wrong.
You think Belichick's at like a pro day right now, and he's just Nick Caserio's working out all the details, and then he calls Bill and he's like, "Yo, you want Hightower for 11.5?" And Bill's like, "Okay."
Yeah. Right.
That's how I see it going down.
He was at Alabama what yesterday?
Yeah. I was like, I'm like, aren't you doing shit? Do you really need to be there in person? Don't you have scouts for that?
Lives for that.
We're trying to. Yeah, he does live for that. You're right.
Lives for. That's why he's not retiring. I mean, you got to figure the guy. People were asking if he was going to retire this year, and it kind of seems funny now. He just won the Super Bowl, and
yeah, he's like,
you're the
that.
Most active fucking team in free agency, which is awesome. And then you see him; he's at the scouting combine he's at Alabama's fucking pro day.
He's just having fun at this point. He's
he
like,
loves
I built the best team in the league, and they're going to be this good for the next 3 years. Why would I leave now?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what he's probably thinking. And with all the draft picks we have, if they get anything for Garoppolo, even if he stays, this is just clearly a luxury of picking whatever player you think's the best on the board.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be in.
You know?
Real good spot to be in. Quickly, before we wrap this up, I want to look elsewhere in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There were a whole slew of signings, but the stuff that's interesting me the most right now are what's happening with the quarterbacks. So
yeah.
Tony Romo was rumored to get released. Now he's going to get traded if that goes through.
Mm-hmm.
So he's completely on the market. Jay Cutler just got cut in Chicago.
Asking for a release.
8 seasons, whatever it was. They scoop up Mike Glennon and pay him $15 million a year for the first 3 years. I think it's a 3-year deal.
That's a joke.
But I think only the first year is really guaranteed.
Okay.
For Glennon. And then you have... obviously, Osweiler going to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's like these a few teams that need quarterbacks. They're two groups. There are the real shit teams, and then there are teams that are a quarterback away from being contenders.
Yep.
Like the Broncos and Texans. They're a quarterback away from being real contenders, and you might throw the Chiefs in there, depending on your feelings on Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And then the other side is, you know, the Bears, the Browns, the Niners, those teams that just
the Jets.
Blow. The Jets, yeah, good one.
The Jets are looking to trade for Simeon. That's like their plan.
That's a good move.
I mean, sure. Why not?
I think you could get him fairly cheap. If the Broncos go out and they pick up Tony Romo, and then they just spent a first rounder on Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian is just twiddling his thumbs out there.
Yeah, true. I just think it's, I mean, imagine being a Jets fan. For my friends that are Jets fans, it's like, Jesus, like your best player you've had in the past 10 years fell off a cliff. Got in a bar fight and now got released.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. Over the past 5 or 6 years are all off your... you're looking at Jay Cutler as a potential replacement. Or your grandstand news is you get Trevor Siemian from the fucking Broncos. Like, that's terrible. It's all terrible.
I think Trevor Siemian could develop a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, sure. Like, that's their best signing is if they can get Trevor Siemian, that's a win for them. Like, that's not fun to root for. That's like, oh, my God, is this guy going to be okay or is he just going to, like, fall apart?
How are they already done with Christian Hackenberg?
I don't know.
It's been 1 year. You spent a second-round pick on him, and you didn't even trust him, like, halfway into the season.
He wasn't even dressing. Yeah, he wasn't – their season was over, and they weren't having him dress. Like, that's when you have those guys play a little bit. See what they got. Nope, not even bothering.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about that. Like, was your draft scouting that off that, like, basically as soon as he walked into the building, you were like, oh, shit.
This isn't what we saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is this?
The same thing with Geno Smith. Fuck.
Sanchez at least had he had the most illustrious career out of all of them.
He did. He was okay.
He was okay. He was serviceable for 2 years there.
Yeah.
You know, but Jay Cutler, yeah, he got released from the Bears. It's crazy what's going on with quarterback.
The best options right now for veteran quarterbacks are Tony Romo and Jay Cutler. And this is that market we see open up from time to time when just these guys that aren't performing that well will hit the market. Like Jake Delhomme was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys that'll change teams late in their careers. I feel like Jay Cutler would be a good fit in Houston.
And I'd say I could see him back in Denver, but okay.
Potentially in Denver, too. I mean, the problem with Denver is going to be, can they shore up that offensive line? Because that was a total sieve last year.
Yeah.
And they got rid of, Russell Okung was only there on a one-year deal. He's already gone. They brought in Ronald Leary. Am I saying that name right?
Sure.
He was a guard down in Dallas. He was a good player. They gave him big money. They gave him $9 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to think exactly of the Broncos because they also have Paxton Lynch. And if you bring in a veteran quarterback at this time, you're basically saying, hey, Paxton Lynch, get used to that clipboard.
Yeah.
You know, we don't believe in you at all for the next 2 years at least. And then you're looking at the end of his rookie contract at right after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Houston would be a good landing spot for both Romo and Cutler. But I like Cutler to Houston. He's 3 years younger than Romo. And he's still got all the arm strength. I mean, he was playing with zero talent in Chicago the last couple of years. It was basically him and Alshon Jeffrey, and that's it.
Well, they had Bennett.
I guess he had Bennett 2 years ago. I don't know. I feel like he was a better player. Why do I keep believing in Jay Cutler?
I don't know why I keep believing. But I can kind of see it. Well, the thing about Tony Romo, Cutler is a safer bet just from health standpoint. I mean, Romo, I don't think he can last even close to a season. If he lasts
break on any play.
Half of a fucking season, I'll be severely impressed. Yeah, he could break on any play. Collarbone, snap. Any play.
Three games in the last 2 years, I think?
It's something like that. I mean, I would have said a couple more, but yeah, he played what? Did he play any this year? One? Maybe one.
Did he get hurt in preseason? Is that when it was?
He broke his collarbone. He's broken his collarbones like three or four times, it feels like.
Yeah, he needs to get some titanium in there.
He probably does.
Probably does and keeps breaking.
Yeah, or the bones around it keep breaking. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But still, the guy is, I mean, I can see him going to Houston, them kicking ass for two games, and then him being out for the season, and then being back to square one.
Yeah, below square one. Osweiler's already gone.
Yeah, below square one. Cutler makes more sense, and I can see him at least, you know, they have a good defense, pretty damn good offense, leading them to at least the playoffs and blowing it in the playoffs, throwing way too many picks. But, hey, who knows?
And they just drafted Kyle Fuller, who flies like anybody, and Jay Cutler still got the arm strength.
Yeah.
Let her rip. Go play in a dome. You don't have to deal with being a mile high or being out in Chicago winters outdoors. You could just let that shit fly.
And he's not going to be too expensive. I mean, the other thing, as you mentioned, Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with him? You said he signed his franchise deal randomly today after there seemed to be nothing good. And then there was kind of, you know, trade talk in the wind. And all of a sudden, he signs.
Yeah, this is a report on NFL.com that Kirk Cousins was imminently going to sign his franchise tag. And players usually don't do that because as soon as you sign the franchise tag, if I'm not mistaken, you can no longer negotiate with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he got an exclusive franchise tag, so he couldn't even negotiate regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's about getting some security, but I think you have to sign the franchise tag in order to be traded. So maybe this is the first step along the lines of him getting dealt to San Francisco.
That's who wants to get him, San Fran?
Yeah, apparently there's some interest there because Kyle Shanahan's the coach and he was a former offensive coordinator for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. And then all of a sudden you got the Redskins, who are, I think, a playoff team the last 2 years, right?
Did they make the playoffs last year?
They didn't make it this year. Didn't they have like an epic choke against the Giants in the last game of the season?
Yeah, the Giants were for them. Yeah, they did.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
But they were
there last year. Yeah.
And they were right in the hunt this year. And so it's a decent team. They did lose DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, so they might go into full reboot mode. They just fired their GM today.
Yeah, after allegedly being a booze bag.
Well, he has been in the past. I don't know. Did they say that's why he got fired this time?
Well, that's what they're saying, but they're also there were reports that that was just kind of like a cover-up excuse. Like, that was the reason they said, oh, yeah, he's drunk all the time, but he just sucked, really.
Maybe. I don't know. That would be a really shitty thing of them to do, to blame it on whatever problems he's had in his past.
On booze. Well, I mean, apparently he's been – it's back.
I hope not, for his sake. I read a great article about him, Scott McLaughlin. He had a great business going. Well, he got fired from either the Niners or the Seahawks for drinking at work, and then he became like a scout for hire, and teams would pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars for his thoughts. Yeah, just he would sit at his house, and he would just watch film on prospects going into the draft, and they would pay him. Like, he would make millions of dollars a year when he would combine, because he would sell his ideas different to all kinds of teams.
How the hell did he get that gig?
Because everyone knew he was an incredibly talented scout. He was the guy, he was like director of player personnel for the Niners when they were picking up Patrick Willis and Justin Smith. Remember, they Navarro Bowman, they put together the most talented roster. Vernon mm-hmm. Davis and Frank Gore and Michael Crabtree and Anthony Davis and Joe Staley, and they were just fucking stacked. And then he went to Seattle and he did the same fucking thing, Marshawn Lynch and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and all that. And everyone was like, oh my God, this dude's a football savant. And then so as soon as he was essentially a free agent, everyone's like, well, just give me your ideas. I'll give you a shit ton of money. Just sit back. Look at some tape. Tell me what you think. So maybe he'll just go back to that. That seems like the life. But
well, that's crazy. So he went to Washington and then everything fell apart.
Yeah, I wonder why. Well, I mean, things were getting better. They brought in Jay Gruden. They brought in Scott McLaughlin. And things trended upwards. But apparently they didn't feel satisfied with his job performance.
Clearly not, no.
That could be a total rebuild down there. And then you're talking about, what are they going to do a quarterback if they decide to deal Kirk Cousins?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Tony Romo, stay in the division.
Yeah, they would. I would.
No way. No. I don't think Romo would even want to do that.
No, I think the Cowboys and him have some kind of. They clearly have some kind of deal where, like, they're like, "All right, I'm going to these couple teams." And they're like, "Okay, that works for us too."
Well, maybe that's why they haven't traded. They haven't released him yet. They're trying to trade him now.
Yeah, because
they're like they're trying to have still some control over where he winds up.
Yeah, they want to get something for him. I'm real interested to see if they trade him what people are willing to give for him.
The only two teams that make sense to me are the Broncos and the Texans.
Where he would at least want to go, right?
Yeah.
There's really, he's not going to go to a rebuilder.
I wouldn't want to if I were him. I'm definitely not the Jets. The Niners suck. The Browns are a pity case.
The Browns, yeah, the poor Browns.
Yeah. So the Texans make the most sense for him because they're in-state, but the Broncos are the best team.
Yeah, definitely.
With the weapons they have on the outside. So, yeah, we're like 7 hours into free agency, and we're already, so much has happened, and so much is still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, you're doing a podcast now? Like, I thought the season ended like a month and a half ago. I'm like, you have no idea how much shit is going on.
You don't even know the half of it. That's
there
hilarious.
Is so much happening, and it's fun.
That's funny.
Was there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to get to?
I'm trying to think. We brushed a hell of a lot of shit.
I know. Alshon Jeffrey signed, DeSean Jackson signed. Those were really the top tier wide receivers.
Yeah, they got money.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots are just in such a good position to be in. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to take some time for me to get used to Stephon Gilmore on the defense. That's. I mean, we just signed arguably the number one cornerback prospect.
On the market.
Two out of 3 years in a row. Two out of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
We like
crazy.
It. We like it.
The $40 million, man. Have we ever... We've never spent that on anybody.
Brady is the only guy that possibly would have got that money.
Right.
In terms of guaranteed money, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think McCourty got... What did he get? He got just about 50 for 5 years, but guaranteed money was like half of that. He made like 26 guaranteed.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Well, I know.
A lot of fun. So thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back shortly. you know, within the next week or two.
Yeah.
Hopefully at that time we will be able to tell you that, yes, Hightower is back on the team and he will be wearing the green dot for the years to come.
Yep.
That would be nice. And then we'll also take some time to shit on the rest of the AFC East.
Exactly. Fun. Always fun.
Shout out to the Bills for signing Micah Hyde. That is a good player. I like that signing.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Lucky them. Okay, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back shortly, and enjoy the remainder of free agency.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Adios.